Welcome back, everyone, to Being Curious with Nomi. I am on with Maggie today. Hi, Maggie.
Hello.
And it's just the two of us in an intimate little chat, not because we didn't want to hang out with Cynthia and Ellen, but because we have some behind-the-scenes chaos happening, which meant that it's just the two of us today. But you know what? I think it's going to be really fun.
I agree. And just to clarify, they're not the ones causing the chaos.
Very true. Technology is causing the chaos.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we are having a conversation that actually is a continuation of a chat that we had when Maggie was here about introversion and extroversion. So if you're the kind of person who sometimes feels misunderstood or like an alien dropped into a world that celebrates nonstop parties, socializing in large groups, this conversation is for you. We're diving into the world of introversion and extroversion, and we are going to be busting some common myths about both sides. We have some hot takes, and we're going to just get honest about the struggles and how to actually build a life that honors your unique energy levels and social needs. So if you are ready to ditch the shoulds and actually embrace who you truly are and maybe even get inspired by our own stories and journeys, then you are in the right place. So welcome, welcome, and let's dive in. So first off the top, would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Introvert, hands down, without even skipping a beat. That's always weird. Have been. Think I always will be, although who knows?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I can see that. Do you know what? It's really funny because I used to consider myself to be a I would call myself an outgoing introvert, meaning that the way I recharge energetically and socially is by myself, but I am a very positive, upbeat, and socially able person. And so I come off as extroverted to other people because of how chatty I am and how engaged I am in conversations and how my social skills manifest. But actually, I really need to recharge by myself. I don't recharge around other people.
Yeah, that's actually interesting because I'm thinking of my own life. And when I was teaching, my students used to be floored when they found out I was an introvert. Because I think similarly to you, I can turn it on. And there's times where I really enjoy it. And I really am energized by being around other people. But you brought up that clutch little key part, which is your recharging time. Right? You have to recharge alone. And that's sort of where you're getting your energy from.
Yeah. And so in your opinion, and this is just your opinion, what do you think most people think defines introversion versus extroversion?
I think introversion gets like a little bit of a bad rap, but that's coming from the introvert. I think people are defining introversion as like people who enjoy cuddling up with a book and that's about it. Like if they had a book and a horde of cats and maybe like a cup of tea and didn't see a human for like 6 weeks, that they would be completely content and happy. So almost this like images of like a hermit.
It's more nuanced than that, but it's really funny that you said it gets a bad rap because I actually feel like being an introvert is super trendy right now. Like everybody wants to claim they're an introvert. I even say this because I feel like maybe since extrovert has been a label that's been like thrust upon me my entire life because of how I show up in the world, maybe this is also skewed by my own bias of feeling like extrovert is something to be ashamed of. Actually, I really do, now that I'm checking in with myself about that, I do think I have shame around being called an extrovert because I consider it to be in line with some of the damaging narratives I had growing up of being called too much. And I think that might be true of a lot of either people who are told they're extroverts or outgoing people, but also true, genuine extroverts is this narrative of extroverts taking up too much space, talking too much, being too loud. And I think I even get an extra edge of that because I live abroad. And so I become this like American archetype to people where they're like, oh my God, she's just so like over the top, loud, positive, like energetic. And
there
so
she
must be, you know what I mean? This cultural archetype of too much embodied.
Yeah. And that's where I was talking about the exact opposite with the introversion, right? So like these very big binaries, very large, like extremes. And I have never encountered this craving to be introverted that you're coming across. So I think that's funny. I know. Like I didn't realize it was trendy. So I guess I'm trendy for the first time in my life.
You are. Yay. You're so trendy. Look at you. Look at you go.
I know.
So have you ever been told, straight into the personal, but have you ever had this narrative of being told you're too much in your life?
Only in my own head. interesting, right? So I think because I'm naturally more withdrawn, which that actually sounds harsh, but I think because I tend to, like, whenever I'm in a new, like, a social situation or a social situation in general, I tend to hold back and be more of the observer and just exist among my people. And so I think I created a little bit of a narrative that I was too much if I started opening my mouth, because there was like this pattern created, right, where I'm the introverted one in the corner. And so to all of a sudden start speaking up and maybe being a little bit more extroverted, it felt like internally too much at times.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, though, because you said it felt internally like too much. There's definitely still the judgment there, like self-judgment versus judgment from others. Yep. However, I think what I'm hearing as well is almost like the role you play in the group, and that the too muchness judgment came from, oh, but Maggie, that's not your role. It's your role to observe and be quiet and be the great listener, not be the talker.
100%. Yeah. And it's like stepping out of my lane. Right.
Oh, damn. But that's so interesting, because the question that's like in my mind is, does any of this even matter? Do the labels even matter? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I want you to keep saying more about that.
You like to say more.
Go.
What I mean is that I feel like with introversion and extroversion, they're just data points. Like the actual conclusion of why it matters to be labeled as such is to help you facilitate a life that supports you. But oftentimes, I feel like with introversion and extroversion and this trendiness that I've experienced in the past, or the judgment is, it is that we like these things have become labels of, you can't be reflective if you're an extrovert, and you can't be socially capable if you're an introvert, and you can't enjoy groups if you're an introvert, and you can't enjoy one-on-one time if you're an extrovert. There are all of these do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. And that's why I asked that question when you said staying in my lane or stepping out of my lane, is that I do feel like the second these two particular labels get handed down, it comes with, here are your lanes and here are these massive guardrails and don't you dare step outside of that lane. Otherwise, you're going to have like 15 people telling you you're not that, you're this. You don't just get to be like, today I'm feeling like I want to strengthen my introversion muscle and really like practice the art of energizing myself through my alone time versus actually, you know what, I'm going to really lean into my extroversion muscle today. Yeah. And I'm going to develop that further by being super present in the social interactions to the best of my capability in a way that energizes me.
Yeah, no, that's powerful. I'm actually sitting here thinking, like, when did I first start labeling myself an introvert? Ooh. And like, what would my life have looked like if that label didn't exist, which is juicy for me to start thinking about, because it's true of any labels, right? So whether or not we're talking about introversion or extroversion, or I can even think of like diagnoses, controversial. But when we put these things out there, we tend to all of a sudden now have this rubric or the set of expectations that we're operating in. And I don't know, like, I'm really into this question now. What would my life have been like?
But also, like, what's so fascinating about that is it reminds me of this conversation I was just having with a loved one, where this person is really stuck in black and white thinking and all or nothing thinking. And I've known this person for years. And it used to be that they phrased their challenges as just that, challenges. And now all of a sudden there's been this shift and they're like, this is just how I am. Black and white is just how I am. It's just, I'm just a negative person. I'm just a whatever person. And it's so interesting because I think that it's this conclusiveness of, I am an introvert, I am an extrovert, I am a this, I am a that, and that's it, done, finito, rest of my life. Yeah. That's how I – and I remember when it blew my mind for the first time, I think maybe it was on the podcast with Ellie a while ago, where she works a lot with clients in the Enneagram. And she was talking about – no, actually, do you know what? It was in a conversation with another coach here in the UK. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, I'm like a 6 and my business partner is like a 7 or something like this. And we work so well together. I don't know enough about Enneagram, so please don't kill me if I'm like wrong. But we work so well together, but she's teaching me to be more a 7. And I was like, what did you just say? And she was like, I'm a 6. That's my natural inclination, but I try and strengthen all of the areas of the Enneagram. And I was like, what?
Mind blown. That's a hot take.
It didn't even, because all of these personality tests and labels and whatever, they're so definitive and conclusive that it didn't even dawn on me for the longest time that it's your natural inclination. I'm a lefty, so I write with my left hand, but it doesn't mean I couldn't sit down and try and write with my right hand if I had to. It would be hard and messy and kind of illegible.
Yeah.
But I could practice.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I think so much of it, a lot of it comes from sometimes the environments that we were like raised in, what was going on. And you're so right also, because I'm thinking of strengths. And I know like when I'm working with clients and I'm even looking at myself, it's not like some of us have some strengths and some of us don't have those at all.
Mm.
It's just like the degree in which we're like exercising them or like building those muscles. And so it is this revolutionary concept, right, to be thinking of introversion and extroversion and being like, wait a sec, I might identify one with more with one than the other.
Yeah.
But maybe there's like a little smidge of both sitting in there.
Yeah. And the other word that kind of is coming up here in my brain is authenticity around how the labels for me get in the way of authenticity.
Yeah. Yes. Like mic drop. Can I just pick up my mic and drop it? No.
Please don't. It's expensive.
I was thinking that when you were talking earlier, though, and I was like, I know. So talking about how maybe we can use these labels to help us, right? I know for me, it's a data point. If I am like really clinging to labels like introversion or any of these other things, it's a little red flag to me that I am not living in my wholehearted authenticity, that there is something bubbling up inside of me that is trying to grab onto some kind of certainty. So I agree. The more I'm identifying with labels and deploying them, there's something amiss. They're a little indicator.
But you like stopped, you finished the thought, but you stopped just short of it, which was, it's me trying to cling to some certainty. And I think, bingo, that is it, right? This is part of why these labels are so alluring, right? Mm-hmm. Is that it is so hard to know ourselves. And in order to show up authentically, this word is like everywhere and yet means nothing all at the same time. But in order to show up authentically, we have to understand what is authentic. Who are we as people? And it's so hard when there's literally an infinite pool of values and strengths and things we can be to understand, okay, which ones are me, right? Which ones are me and how do I show up in those things? And how do I know when I'm being on brand and off brand and authentic versus inauthentic?
Yeah.
And so I think these labels, these lenses through which we can see ourselves are really sexy, to be honest, because it's such a succinct way of being like, here's this broad stroke box that I'm going to put myself in because it might help me relate to, connect with others, help them understand me better, help me understand me better. But then we step in this box and instead of being like, oh, I'm going to take the things out of the box that are serving me and leave the rest, we're like, I am the box.
Yeah. I'm picturing like a little cat in a box now. This is now mine.
Right. If I sits, I sits. If I fits, I sits energy indeed. That's so true. Oh my God. We're all just cats.
Moral of the story, introverts with cats.
So then do you think then there is a danger in becoming too comfortable with the label of introversion or extroversion?
Too comfortable with it. Maybe. I think there is the potential there. We open this podcast up by trying to define them or sharing our understandings of both. And I think if you are clinging to those labels or over-identifying with it, there's 8 million different definitions that also go with it too. In an attempt to cling to certainty, you're actually maybe clinging to nothing.
Mm.
Is that like really philosophical and deep? I don't know.
I mean, it is philosophical and deep. But also, I hear you. It's basically saying it only has the weight and value that you give it. And so if you don't understand the why behind the choice of that label, it's not going to mean anything to you. You can't do anything with that. So then I think my question is, how do we get past the labels mattering so much and toward the more meaningful thing, which is helping us understand ourselves better and helping to use that information to grow ourselves and create a world around us that supports us?
It's about being curious.
Tee-hee.
It took us a little bit to get there.
I feel like we should have a buzzer where like the first time the word curious is used on the podcast, we're like, mmm, 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 mmm.
Like strobe lights.
Yeah, I just imagine like a basketball court. Slam, dunk, get curious.
I think it is, though. I think it's, I'm just thinking of myself, and I am a total junkie for like quizzes. I love a good personality quiz. I'm like, I love some human design stuff. I love some Enneagram stuff. I love Myers. I take them all. And I think what I have started to do that has been really helpful is looking at this information and asking myself, is using this data point going to move me closer to who I want to be? Right? Is hanging on to this part of this definition or whatever, is it actually serving me?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I'm almost a little tired of that question, to be honest. Like, I know it has value and it has merit. And
yeah, no,
I love it. But it's so true. And I think this is sometimes where it becomes chicken and egg, though, which is, yep, you said, like, I asked myself, is that label helping me be who I want to be? What if you don't know who you want to be? Like, what if you haven't asked yourself those questions yet? And I think this is why it's so important to know your players, right? If you, before you start putting all these labels and definitions on yourself, actually getting to know what's important to you and starting from that corner of the room to clean is it's one of the most helpful things you can do. Because then, for example, like if I consider myself to be a really like generous, helpful and caring person,
yep,
and I've trapped myself in this like introvert box where I've decided that means that I don't need to see a person for 6 days, as you put it earlier. But I think what that ends up doing is creating this conflict between what's possible for me to show up in my values as an introvert, instead of just saying to myself, I'm, you know, I recharge this way, but maybe because I'm caring and generous and care about connection and being helpful and whatever, I can find something that inspires me to show up as that person within the, within, not within the structure, but within the structure of what introversion means to me or extroversion means to me, or vice versa. If you're an extrovert and you're like, I really value reflection and deep reflection comes from being alone with myself, that's really important to me, but, oh, I can't do that because I'm an extrovert, so like everything has to be with others. Maybe it means that if you're also a verbal processor, you like to do reflective things in a coaching relationship or with a friend.
That was very nice and lovely, that little blurb you just gave us about knowing yourself. And so now I'm going to put you in the hot seat.
Oh,
and I know you like being there too. You like all the hot things, hot takes, hot seats,
hot tamales.
But I'm wondering, so you are aware of some labels that you have maybe attached some meaning to and that have resonated with you. Is there a time where you have noticed them and decided to shift your reaction to them?
Ooh, when you say shift your reaction, what do you mean?
Or not attach to them or change your relationship with the labels based on what you know about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I think, to be honest, outside of staged conversations, I don't really talk about myself as an introvert or an extrovert kind of ever. I think other people talk about me or to me with those labels, but when I'm describing myself, I'm not like, hi, I'm Madeline. I'm like a Leo. My rising sun is Cancer and I'm an extrovert. No, yeah. There are some things that I do talk about. Like I do talk about the fact that I am a verbal processor because that's a really important part of me. But I think going back to this question of shifting my perception or becoming unattached to it is, I think, a really helpful exercise for me, and I offer it unto our listeners, is to list all of the things that I, Madeline, associate with introversion and all the things I associate with extroversion, and delete the label and circle the things that I want. Right?
Yeah.
So for example, I've mentioned a few times, like I associate deep reflection and alone time with introversion. And I associate social stuff and human relationship and chatty interpersonal connection with extroversion. And I like all those things. All those things are very important to me. I think my self-awareness stems across both as well. And that enables this like Venn diagram to start forming too. And so by doing that, by listing the qualities or a little bit of the being and the doing activities of each of these types of people, and then just circling what I want and then deleting the labels, enables me to just be Madeline.
Yeah, no. And you went a layer deeper, right, than the label. And this is reminding me of I remember sitting in like faculty meetings or doing like icebreakers at the start of like college or a new class, and they would ask you to write down all the things that, like, write down 10 facts about yourself, right? Or what you liked about yourself. And all of mine for a long time were just like very surfacey, right? So I actually would write like introvert, right? Oldest daughter. It was all roles and like surface level.
Yeah.
And I like what you're suggesting, which is go that next layer deep and then just delete the title essentially. And then what you're left with, right, are probably like really resonant things.
Yeah. I love that you just brought up roles because I think that's so real. I felt in the past that I've been suffocated by some of the roles. And the more I do that practice of writing down the title, then writing down all the being, and to de-jargonize that, what I mean is like generous, helpful, one, intellectual, like these are values, strengths, language. And then all the doings of taking a dog for a walk, or it can come out in different ways. And then I might look at my doings and be like, oh, yeah, responsibles in there too. And writing down all of these things, these beings and doings for all of the roles, and then deleting all the titles and just circling them, you have authenticity. That is authenticity. That is, I'm transcending this vision and this viewpoint that involves boxes. I'm throwing it all in one box, and then I am taking out from that one giant communal box the stuff that feels aligned me. And it helps me very clearly understand when I'm then performing that role. This is aligned Madeline performing this role, and this is unaligned Madeline performing this role, right? This is the role performing me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And I think this is where it's funny that we're here, because we were talking about our labels like dangerous to over-identify. And I think this is where they almost can be helpful at the start, right? Which is, it's almost like going to the grocery store and taking a box of cereal off the shelf, right? And you picked it out because it's red and it has a name you recognize. And then the next step, like you're saying, is to like actually open the bag, dump it out, and then start weeding through it and like picking out the points. And then it is like what you're left with is your really authentic little pile of things.
Pile of cereal.
Your pile of tasty treats.
Amen. But no, this is so right. And I think what you're speaking about is shared language. Yeah. And this is why we gravitate. You talked about earlier certainty, semblance of certainty. It's shared language. It's trying to understand ourselves better and trying to understand each other better. The issue is that our brains, that we often think are much smarter than they are, don't understand nuance in the way we want them to.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, label, solid, slap that on everybody.
Yeah. And it gives us, and we are, we're trying to have a point of reference to relate to one another. And that's why it's that shared language. We gravitate towards it. And that's, but also, again, not even thinking about ourselves, but going outward, why if I am talking to you and you say you're an extrovert, all of a sudden I might have this whole pile of preconceived notions, right? So not only do we have to be like very curious about ourselves, we have to not just be taking people at their face value labels either, because that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And so my next curious question for me, there that is again, curious.
Just turned off the podcast.
I know, honestly. Please rate us 5 out of 5. My next curious question for you is, you have been running these introverts writing circles.
I have, with the label right up front.
With the label right up front. So one, help me understand why the label, and two, what's going on in there? What are people saying in there?
It's top secret. We don't talk. We just stare at each other. No.
So there are introverts in the room.
It's exactly. So the label's right up front because of exactly what we were just talking about. It catches your eye. You're kind of like, oh, that means something to me. Mm-hmm. And then it's enough to have people like open it up and look inside the box. And so what's happening in those groups is actually pretty interesting, because I, again, self-identified introvert, when I started running these online with randos that I don't know, I was like, are we all going to just sit in silence? Is talking actually going to happen? And what I've discovered is that it's actually very chatty. And there's also been some instances where maybe because people are feeling like it's a little bit of an introvert club. Some like interesting like misconceptions have snuck out about like extroverts too.
Okay. Lay it on me, girl.
Yeah. There was one today that someone mentioned, I feel that extroverts aren't as authentic as introverts because they don't take the time
Your eyes just
fogging out of my head.
Yeah, at home listeners, like the eyes just got real big. Yeah, but they are not as authentic because they don't take the time to slow down and check in with themselves. Mm. And I got a little defensive for some extroverts, I think. But yeah, it was an interesting topic.
Yeah, I mean that, so I can totally understand how that misconception came to be though. And this goes back to what you're saying about extrovert comes with this like bundle, a starter kit for extroverts or introverts. And I think one of the misconceptions I think about introverted people are that they're incapable, that they have lower capability, that they're less capable humans, meaning that they need more handholding. They need more validation. They need more.
They're fragile.
They're fragile. It's so true. That's what I feel like people really treat introverts like they're fragile. And and extroverts are like on the other end of the spectrum, that they're like these like loud, clunky, toddlerish like humans that like throw themselves bull in a china shop around the world and are really confident. That all extroverts are really confident. And
I definitely hold that truth. Like in my head, that's still one that I'm trying to – I associate extroversion with confidence. And it's like how you're showing up in the world. It doesn't matter whether or not you're introverted or extroverted. It's all about how you're showing up. But
I think this is where we have to start seeing – I hate this word – but comorbidity, which is if you associate – if you identify with introversion, you may also identify with – social awkwardness or something like this. And if you envy people that you believe have social skills and you see that as equaling extroversion, then we can see where this math equation is going, which is extroversion equals confidence, right? And I think a lot of the judgments that come – that are slung across the line to each other is envy. It's all envy based of you're this like natural introvert. And so you have this like deep introspective, wonderful self relationship and you're okay being alone. And I want that so badly. And so I'm going to just assume all these things about you and envy you for them. And it's going to slowly trickle into self-judgment because when there's insecurity there, we go to judgment and vice versa. And I think it's just so dangerous because we sell ourselves short in the process.
1,000,000% when we do that. We absolutely do. And this is reminding me of like an adjacent thing, right? But I have had times where I, again, I'm introverted, but I've had to check in and know myself and also check in with the people around me because what I discovered was that there were times when people were like misreading my introversion as being standoffish. Or like withholding. And so it takes a real dose of confidence, right? I guess I was a confident introvert at some point to have those brave conversations too, because there was like a lack of sort of understanding of each other's needs there where it's, I'm not like hiding from you. And it's not that I don't trust you. I just tend to hold more to myself.
Do you know what? You just said the word needs and where my brain just went is, I think we hide behind introvert, extrovert labels so that we don't actually have to identify our needs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because identifying our needs and then asking for what we need is terrifying.
Oh, and it's hard. Sometimes. It's really hard. Yeah. It's so hard. Do you know? And I think that when we're like, oh, I'm just an introvert or I'm just an extrovert, like we or any of these labels, we just slap it on. We're like, assume therefore XYZ needs. And I'm like, no, we still have to do the work.
And I lived that because I think I thought for a long time I was an introvert who had no needs for deep human connection.
Oh, my God.
I know. Heavy. Depressing. Right. But yeah. And you're right, because it just made it easier. Right. But what happened was that it didn't really work out that way.
I know. But and so this just goes to show that if let's say you are identifying with pieces of this conversation, you do the little exercise where you write down the things that are what you assume an introvert's characteristics to be and an extrovert's characteristics, you delete the titles, circle the things you want to retain. Then I think the next step, the final step is advocating for those things, advocating within yourself. So like some of the advocating can be within the confines of your own head, meaning like when your inner critic is like, Maggie, don't say anything. You're an introvert. That's not stay in your lane. You have to advocate for yourself internally and be like, oh, no, that's not actually how this works. And thanks so much for trying to keep me safe, but hard no. I'm going to say things because I have things to say.
And also like with the people in our lives saying, I know I seem like a really socially capable person, but this doesn't mean that I'm high energy. So can you please, I don't know, leave me alone.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And that's even, again, going back to what I was saying with my friends, I've had to make a conscious effort to be like, yeah, here's the deal. I want to share with you, but I'm not going to spill my guts while we're out to dinner over like an appetizer with three other people. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go for a walk, I would love to go for a walk with you on the beach and share what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just figuring out what works for us and then being brave to ask and go find it.
Yeah. And bravery is a really big part of it, I think. More in store about that soon. So stay tuned about the bravery piece. There's something
that wasn't even intentional. Look at me.
I know. It's because it's sorely needed. So more on that soon. But that little teaser will just mean that you have to listen to next week or in a couple of weeks' time when we're back, which actually in a couple of weeks, speaking of that, we have a really exciting episode that I'm going to tease here, which is that Catherine May, best-selling author of Wintering and Enchantment, as well as many other books, and podcast host of How We Live Now, right? The Way We Live Now? How We Live Now.
I think it's How We Live Now.
Yeah, How We Live Now.
And if it's not, that's how we are. That's what it is now.
It's named now. Sorry, Catherine.
Love you.
But she is going to be our guest on our podcast next time. And the conversation is so rich. And the four of us were just like drooling over her while she was talking because she's just one of the most incredible human mm-hmm. beings to grace the earth, which of course would mortify her to hear. But hey, we'll say it when she's not in the room. Anywho, please stay in tune for that. And don't forget to hit subscribe so that you're notified when that episode releases. You'll be the first to know. And we will be teasing the crap out of it on social media. But we're really excited to have everyone in that conversation because I also think that in line with what we're chatting about here, she is a wonderful person who has really embraced what it means to be authentic and how to show up in the world, not only authentically, but vulnerably in a mm-hmm. way that helps people connect with us, not just on shared language of labels, but rather just shared language of experience. And by writing about her own story and sharing her own story, she hopes to inspire other people. And I think we can learn how to do microdosing versions of that in our day-to-day lives. Really excited for everyone to experience that episode.
What is a nugget of wisdom that you have, Madeline, for our listeners?
I think my nugget of wisdom is nothing is that serious. I think sometimes when we are trying to figure ourselves out, we take the whole thing so dang seriously, right? Needing to have the right labels, needing to have taken all the little personality tests, needing to have read all the right books, needing to understand all the little intellectual concepts, all of these things, right? Needing to be so deep, so serious all the time. And I'm like, sometimes it's not that serious and it's not that deep. And learning about ourselves can be fun. And the metaphor that I will use, I love using this with my clients, is if you are learning about yourself in a way that feels like you are peeking around corners in a dark haunted house and anything could scare you at any moment, off track. When we are learning about ourselves, it should be like being a toddler on a summer's day, picking up rocks and finding what ooey gooey bugs are under there. And if you find yourself like squealing with joy when you find a creepy crawly, then you're in the right space. That is how we want to be it. That is the space we want to be in as much as possible. And yes, there are haunted house moments because there's a lot of things we can uncover that are not so wonderful. But there are so many things about us that don't have to be scary or deep or serious or whatever. And so my wisdom is to make it playful. Like we have been talking about introversion and extroversion for about a half an hour now. And about ourselves and about exploring this. And as you can tell from the tone of our voices, we are having fun. Like it doesn't mean there's no trauma behind these realizations. It doesn't mean that some tears haven't been shed to get to some of these conclusions. And it is still possible to access knowing ourselves and growing ourselves from a place of joy and excitement and fun.
Yeah. No, that's so great. And I think my little nugget of wisdom is very adjacent to that, which is the older I get, not that I'm that old, but I used to think that I had to go out and acquire all of this knowledge about myself, right?
From like, sources. I just thought you said go out in a choir.
In a choir and sing? Not yet. No, the introvert in me doesn't sing in choirs yet. acquire. I used to think I had to go out and acquire all of this knowledge, like a scavenger hunt, that I had to run around and go find all of these things in other places. But it's so cliche. Everything that we need to know about ourselves is already lurking inside of us. So it is about having these moments of like play and curiosity and just dusting them off, and that we don't have to go on this great big massive sail around the ocean to figure out what we need.
Very true. Very true. Wow. I hope that this conversation was interesting, engaging, and fun for all of you. I hope you learned something. I hope you connected somehow to us, to yourselves, and to the world around you. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. Oh my God, Maggie, I think this is the first episode ever that someone else will be closing this with me. But until next time.
Oh, I get to say it?
You get to say it.
Be well. Thanks for listening to Being Curious with Nomi. Did you learn something new or feel inspired by something in this episode? Then please pass it along. Sharing our podcast is the best way you can help us to inspire more self-awareness and curiosity in the world. And if you're curious about how we can support you, head to nomi.com to see how we could work together one-to-one. We know it takes a village, and we're grateful that you're a part of ours. This is Maggie
and Madeline
asking you to be good to you.